This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. A short week this week. Hells yeah. God, I'm looking forward to this long weekend. What are you doing this long weekend? Have you figured it out yet? Tell me your story.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I don't want to do anything, to be honest.
I've got so much painting and gardening this weekend. I'm so pumped for it, Buck, because I'm going to get it all done and just be like, it's going to be so good. I can't wait. I literally cannot wait. I'm going home now. See ya.
So you're a gardener too, Alan?
No, I've got this one garden project that is so close to completion. I've been waiting for just the weather to come right, and it hasn't, but I can't wait any longer because I just want to do it.
Good luck with it. I mean, I've just gotten into the gardening world.
It's mainly like succulents, and they can survive nearly anything.
Are they about to ship us onto the ABC?
Oh, God.
We're getting dangerously close.
I'm okay with it.
With all this gardening chat?
Well, yeah, government money is what I'm thinking of.
Oh,
hook a brother up. That's true. It's harder to fire us. I mean, not impossible, but harder.
They pass one law, we're all gone.
Oh, God. Not again.
What's your plan?
Nothing.
No. Well, I'm thinking of, God, they really are going to put us on the ABC. I'm thinking of hosting a high tea.
God damn it, Carly.
I know.
Carly, you're meant to be the youth on the show.
I'm not even joking.
You watch TikToks.
I'm thinking of doing a high tea bingo because I bought this bingo set.
A bingo combined as well. Knitting in this as well, crocheting maybe.
I know, but then I haven't
talking
really,
about your funeral plans.
I was literally just going to see if anyone was free, but I don't know. Most people have plans for long weekend.
Well, ask me. I could be free.
You will not be free. Even if you're free, you're not coming to that.
No.
But Alan, I was going to do the sandwiches without the crusts on.
Oh, wait.
With the cream cheese.
Cucumber sandwiches?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You talked me into it. I'll be there. I love a cucumber sandwich.
They're good, aren't they?
I love
them. Why do we only have those at high teas?
I don't know, because we're stupid.
And also, I don't go to enough high teas to enjoy the amount of cucumber sandwiches I want to.
God, I want one right now. God, I want one.
Can I just say that with high teas, never value for money.
God,
you get like four little bits of cake and they'll be like, that'll be $120, thank you.
There's this one in Melbourne that's quite like well known in this arcade. I don't know the names or anything.
It doesn't sound very well known.
No, but it's like there's like queues for it. It's like always, and Julia for 1 year was like, because we're going there for her birthday. She's like, I really want to do this high tea. So we did it. And because we had booked so far in advance, they gave us like the best seat that was in the window. So everyone was, because they can't get bookings, it's all booked out, just staring at us while we're eating the whole time. It was traumatizing.
That is, I don't like that.
No, but it was meant to be the best seat, but it was traumatizing. Everyone looking through, like, you can see them put their hand up on the glass going like, oh, what are you eating? Kick up a fan with. Okay, Dave Hughes, get out of here.
Did they do macarons? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, it was like every sweet and sandwich. It was actually...
So it was value for money?
Well, no, because it was very expensive. I'm still financially recovering from that one, actually. And that was
what is it about putting things on a three-tiered plate that make them so much more expensive?
I don't know. That's a great question. But also, maybe our next side hustle.
Oh,
Alan and Carly's high tea.
Because I've got 2 3-tiered plate things, and it just makes everything look fancy.
Yeah. How hard is it to make a cucumber sandwich? Not hard.
I don't know. I'll be Googling it. Yeah. I assume it's just like cream cheese, Philadelphia cream cheese with cucumber, right?
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Little hint of pepper, but.
I do have to cut the
little hint
crust
of salt
off.
As well, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit. Not too much. Just right. Okay. Welcome to ABC. Album arcs for tomorrow. Your letter is W for water.
Okay.
Starting with the letter W, and only because it's a bit of a thinker, a word that ends with E.
Oh,
God, it's coming down to the wire.
I know.
Would you be welcome to an answer?
Oh, welcome.
And wire.
Welcome is literally written on the sheet in front of me here.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept thinking water.
No.
Wat-y.
not a word. Waste.
Oh, wait.
No, sorry, I was referring to the time that we spent doing this. enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I was fortunate enough to be invited to a media event over the weekend. James Cameron, famous movie director, directed Titanic, Terminator.
What else has he done? Oh, Terminator. He's behind that. Avatar.
Everything
that
he makes
him.
Turns to gold. He's very good at what he does. And he had a special media event and general event. James Cameron in conversation. 1,200 tickets sold within minutes for this event.
Well, he's a big deal.
Massive deal. And he was in Frio to promote his Challenging the Deep exhibition that's running there at the WA Maritime Museum, which has actually got the necklace from Titanic and a few other props.
How much is that worth?
I think it's fake. So.
Oh, what? It's fake?
Well, yeah, but it's sentimental value.
That makes me feel better about it dropping it in the ocean.
Well, no, well, that one's gone. Anyway, so, you know, this is something that doesn't happen too often. I get to go to these sort of things. I was pretty excited for it. The whole thing had been moved around a bit because turns out James Cameron couldn't get to Australia very easily. It took him 40 hours. There was storms.
His what, did he come here diverted. In a submersible?
Maybe. But it was a whole thing to get him here. So originally it was meant to be a Saturday, ended up getting moved to a Sunday. The whole process behind the media element of it all, where we could ask questions and we couldn't ask questions. We had to pre-approve them, not pre-approve them.
Yeah, you had to literally email through pre-approved questions.
We got told at the start we'd get to ask three questions. Then it changed into you only get one question. It was a whole thing. And so the media, the actual event itself where he's talking to everyone, the 1,200 people, really cool. Like, I got to listen to this guy for ages.
Did the people in the crowd have to submit their questions or just the media?
Well, they did it online. And so our media thing was a separate thing after. But like online, all these questions were coming through. And so he answered a bunch of them. And in those questions, he answered all the questions that I had.
Oh,
like,
no.
Clive Palmer, Titanic 2. I was like, would you go on it? He answered it. He said, yeah, sure. Why not? And he was like, but you know, why is he spending that much money on that? Spend it on science. Questions about like WA. Would you ever consider doing a project here? I thought that was, I was like, this is a
golden
question.
That's a good question.
Right? He said, absolutely. But this is the first time he's ever been here and he's not going to be here for long. But when he comes back, he'd love to explore opportunities to do it.
That sounds like a bit of a
brush-off. Of course
brush
it does.
Off.
But you get one question. There's no follow-up.
Yeah.
So all the questions I kind of had, I had questions about like the movies, about the door, the famous door from
what
Titanic.
Happened? He said that was what I said to ask him.
He said to shut up all the haters. He created a test for it. He had stunt people in a place in Dunedin where they recreated the whole thing. And every scenario came out that Jack would die.
I don't believe it.
So he
I would have had a follow-up question to that.
Answered all the questions. So the event finishes. I and a bunch of other media people, we get rushed into another room to wait for James Cameron
and
to come out.
And these are like world-class journalists, Alan, and well, they're all going to be like looking at you. You know those little press packs?
Yeah, they're Perth journalists. So,
Was Susanna Carr there?
No, but Michael Genovese from Channel 9 was. And geez, that man is handsome up close. So we go into this tiny room. James Cameron comes into the tiny room. There's 14 journalists that are there and 5 camera people from your 7, 9, your 10. They're all there and they're all ready to go.
The United Nations of television.
And I can tell you, of all those people that asked the questions, every single one of them got their question answered. But me.
So, because you've had to go rogue, right?
Well, all my questions were asked.
So you've had to make one up that's not approved from his team.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone off script and rogue.
And I will tell you what that question was after this one. Troy Sivan right now got me started. Hit breakfast down in Carly. Let me just say, answered everyone else's but my question. Tell you what, after this, you're in it. Carly, just talking about my opportunity to interview James Cameron. It wasn't a one-on-one sit-down by any means. It was a media room. It was me, 14 other people from the media, a bunch of camera people, and everyone got to ask one question. Now, James Cameron, in case you're unaware, famous movie director, Titanic, one of his movies.
He's done
Avatar,
well for himself.
Terminator. Absolutely.
Australia?
No.
Oh.
No, he normally makes hits. So he was doing this big talk. It, then after that, went straight into a media room where we each, and this has all got changed last minute. Originally, we were told we had 3 questions we were allowed to ask and they had to be pre-approved. Then it got changed into you can only ask one question and it's going to go around. They're going to pass the mic around and everyone gets one question and only one. However, they don't need to be pre-approved questions anymore. Now, I said
before. Oh my
God,
so you've gotten permission to go rogue.
Pretty much, yeah. And I said before, all the questions that I kind of had got addressed in his big talk that he did. It was a really awesome, fascinating, you know, spiel. He talked all about Titanic 2, about, you know, sustainability. He was really engaging.
And he's
about,
really into submarines, isn't he?
Yeah, he talked all about the submersible
exploding.
Did
anyone ask
him
about the, you know, what happened?
Yeah, he talked all about his friend was on that died, and he talked about that.
Oh, my God, I'm glad that wasn't me that asked
him. No, but he was so open, which is why I was, like, excited for the media thing, but at the same time, I felt like I didn't really have any questions to ask. But I'm like, you know what? I'm a radio guy. I'll figure something out.
I'm scared.
So they start going around, and they're asking the question. The first thing that happens is he goes, someone asks a question in the crowd, and he goes, sorry, I can't really hear you. There was an explosion just the other day, and I can't really hear too well out of my left ear. Let me come closer to you. They ask the question again.
What happened with the explosion? That would be my question.
So then the next person asks a question and he goes, I'm sorry, I can't really hear you. Now the setup, there's only one speaker and it's to his left. And he looks over at that speaker and goes, is there a way we can get the speaker to the right? I literally, it's my left ear. I can't hear anything out of it with this explosion that happened. He then walks close to the person. They ask another question. He answers. The next person asks a question. He goes, look, guys, the speaker's killing me. We're going to have to move it. I'm so sorry. Because he's so lovely. But he goes, we're going to have to move it.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what? I'll do it. And I go, absolutely not. So I stand up. And myself and Michael Genovese, the journalist from Channel 9, we stand up and both walk over to the speaker to pick it up. No one stops us. So I guess that's now what we're doing. Michael Genovese, very handsome man. He doesn't say it out loud, but I can tell he's going, well, I'm already lifting a lot of the handsome quota. So you do the heavy lifting of the actual speaker. So I do. I move this speaker around while the talk is happening.
Yeah.
I put it back in the spot. The guy who's in charge of audio starts handing me cables. I'm like, mate, I'm actually here for media. We go back into the interview.
Oh, my God. By the way, can I just say, Alan, you need to be updating your resume immediately to say that you have been directed by James Cameron.
That is true.
Yeah.
Love it. So it finally comes to my question. But there's only one thing I want to know. So this is the audio of the question that I asked famous movie director James Cameron.
All right, stand.
Oh, that's fine.
Alan, stand up and come to the front of the class.
Thank you. My question is, what happened with the explosion? Referred to.
It's still being investigated. No, I'm kidding. I was just doing some experiments.
Movie or experiment?
No, I'm not going into it.
Okay.
Anyway, it was an unplanned acoustic event.
Channel 9, Michael?
That was my time. That's all I got. What? I had one question and he didn't even answer it.
But it's making me sound like he's starting a war somewhere.
I don't know.
But what is going on, James Cameron?
I don't know. But that is the one question I got to ask and I didn't even get an answer. Everyone else got like 5-minute answers.
I don't know how I feel about that. What is James Cameron doing?
I agree. If I had a follow-up question, that would have been my next one. Are you going to war? Why do you have explosions going off? I have more questions than answers.
That was so weird. That
By the way,
such a weird answer.
That was 4 hours of my day for that 26 seconds of audio. Worth it.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I want to ask on 131060, just out of pure curiosity, if anyone over the weekend actually partook in Earth Hour. So if you're not familiar with what it is, it started actually here in Australia in 2007.
Yep.
And the chokehold this event had on us, it was like cities across the world would literally be live streamed going completely dark. So for an hour, you would turn off your lights and everyone would do this basically to highlight climate change.
As now, I said before, I do feel regional WA has done their part enough this year when it comes to turning all the power off. Just saying.
131060, I'm asking, are people still getting around it?
Well, Andrew from Margaret River. Andrew, talk us through it. Are you doing Earth Hour?
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
No, we did kind of the opposite. I came home from work on Saturday night and found every single light on in my house that my children turned on.
And I bet you let everyone know about it too, Andrew, as you went through flicking them.
I felt like my dad from years ago walking in and saying, this isn't a football stadium. But yeah.
Andrew, I love this. This is already the world I'm living in right now. Julia, my wife, constantly leaving lights on all the time. I'm walking around.
All right.
I'm like, who is this
for? This is getting very dad-esque. Very dad-esque.
I cannot wait to embrace this part of my life. Too many lights on here in the studio, if I'm being honest with you, Andrew.
Oh, for God's sake. Now, Andrew, did you actually used to do Earth Hour? Do you remember when it was, like, really big?
No. We never did it.
No.
Why Climate denier.
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true, but I do think Earth Hour, not a thing for Andrew. Well, all right. We're learning.
There you go.
Wow.
So what does this speak to my point about saying Earth Hour is not really a thing anymore? I don't think people are doing it.
Well, next year you should do something for it. I just looked at the date, 29th of March next year.
Okay.
I won't be. That's my wedding anniversary.
What is it? It's a whole hour, isn't it? No power.
No power.
I'll make sure my phone's charged so I can still watch TikTok.
Of course.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
We shouldn't make people wait any longer, Carly.
No. People have been waiting all weekend. People have been losing sleep over this. And now, finally, the countdown has stopped because the time is now.
Actually, before we get into that, quick context. So, Cheers campaign. We've obviously been doing that. We decided that we wanted to make a product. Over the last week, we've been getting people involved.
I just assumed everyone was waiting for it. They knew exactly the
time. Yeah, I know what you assume, but I mean, we should have rehearsed this, truth. But people wanted a product to associate with Cheers. We've obviously got the coffee campaign we're running with the coffee cups, the machine, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But we thought we needed a piece of merchandise.
Yes. And we've landed on one.
Play it now.
Let's do it.
Carly have changed WA mornings for the better, spreading cheer right across the state.
Cheers for us, please!
Yay!
Cheers from Bunbury!
Yay!
Cheers, Carly!
Oh,
from the creators of that genius idea. They are here yet again to revolutionize your mornings for the better. Introducing the world first, maybe life-changing, unlikely, award-winning, pending, Alan and Carly's Breakfast Sauce.
Yep, that's it.
I know what you're thinking. Wow. And me too.
Okay.
Because hours and hours of meetings took place. There were
some could have been emails.
Whiteboards.
Yep.
There were many suggestions that came in from all over the state. Now, all of them great suggestions.
Yep.
But we thought what we're going to do with those suggestions is we're going to ignore each and every one of them. Whilst Absolutely. They were great.
We didn't ignore all of them, did we? No, I think we did,
well,
actually. Yeah, good call.
Did.
Yeah,
but we do appreciate your input.
We liked some of the ideas, but at the end of the day, we wanted a product that we could give to you, the listener, you know, obviously through prizing, whatever we're doing it as.
Yeah.
And we wanted something that, you know, you could keep for a long time, but it still had a purpose.
And we thought, what has the world never, ever, 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 ever seen before? A sauce specifically for your breakfast.
Now, I did argue in the meeting that every sauce could technically be a breakfast sauce.
And
like,
you know,
barbecue
what?
Sauce,
we
tomato sauce.
We did actually ignore that because that doesn't make any sense to me.
I respectfully disagree.
It's a world first. It is revolutionary.
Okay.
Sauce for your breakfast.
Now, this is where we're at right now. Like, just putting it out there. We've got a name, breakfast sauce. And that's it. So, if you happen to run a sauce company, maybe you make sauces, maybe you know someone distributing them.
Yep.
Get in contact with us.
Now,
we don't know.
I'm not going to lie, we've kind of Clive Palmered it. We've kind of unveiled the Titanic 2,
yep.
even though this is much bigger than that.
I would 100% agree with
in
that.
In an obviously metaphorical sense.
Yeah.
With no Titanic 2.
No.
So, look, the announcement is there. We've put it out into the universe. But what I like about this is the accountability. Because now that we've said it, even though we have no means or no plan to get it to you yet, we do have the responsibility to follow this through.
So watch this space. And once again, I cannot stress this enough. If you happen to run a sauce company, please get in contact with us.
Please.
Please.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Speaking of the weekend, it was a wild one for me. So I've decided to enter a new era in my life, okay. as Taylor Swift would label it.
What's her eras? She has the...
very successful, every single one.
Okay. I don't know what a single one of her eras is. 1989 era? Is that an era?
She's just doing colours, red.
Oh, red era.
And years.
What's your era then?
Gardening. Bit different, as I said. She's selling out stadiums.
Folklore era.
She's changing the world for the better, inspiring generations of women. And I planted a plant.
Well, you could be inspiring people right now. I mean, autumn's coming. Good time to start
it
replanting.
Is. You know who I'm inspiring? My mum. So my mum has
Jesus,
always been
yourself.
An avid gardener, Alan. I'm not even kidding. And I used to think it was so boring. And she would, like, pretty much as soon as I kind of started entering into my teens, she'd try and get me out in the garden. She's just always loved it. And it's funny. It's like I feel like when you're younger, you rebel against everything that your parents like. It's like whatever your parents like, you think it's so uncool.
Oh my
and
God,
so
my unborn child's gonna hate me and wrestling and radio
the way that my mum's whole demeanor changed when I called her on the weekend and said, "Mum, it's time. I'm planting a veggie garden."
Oh wow.
Yeah.
You're not messing around, you're going big. I thought you were just
around.
Doing some shrubs or something.
No. But here's the problem. She let me down. Now I know she's been waiting for this moment my whole life.
Yeah.
But
I'll be there in five.
I literally, as a last minute thing, I thought, you know what? Veggies are so expensive.
Yep.
I was like, I can't handle this anymore. And my friend has a great veggie garden. I thought, on Sunday, Russell had just sat down and relaxed. I said, nah, we're building a veggie garden.
Poor Russell.
He knows how it goes, and he knows that I'm going to be relentless.
Well, these pizzas aren't going to cover themselves with veggies.
Absolutely not.
So what are we growing? What happened?
Well, I went big, Alan, because as you know, I have to plant it all. But there was a few things. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to call Mum on the way to Bunnings because she'll walk me through it, right?
Yeah.
I learnt a lot over the weekend. I thought it was just plant and go. Boom, boom. There it goes.
No, absolutely not.
Apparently, there's a lot more to gardening. Now I'm starting to understand why there's a whole channel dedicated to it on the ABC.
Yep.
So essentially, I was like, me and Russell are doing a little wish list on the way to Bunnings. We're like, chilies. yes, fresh chilies.
Chilies easy to grow.
And then we started getting silly and exotic with it because I'm Googling. I'm like, ooh, Thai basil. Like,
that's easy to grow. We got some in our house.
Yeah, I'm getting silly. I'm starting to think I'll plant, you know, those trees that have multiple different fruits on them?
Oh, no, no, you don't have a hope in hell of that.
This is where my head's at. I'm getting a bit silly. I'm getting a little bit overexerted.
You've got to learn to walk before you can run.
Thank you, Alan, because I was running into Bunnings. And I was grabbing all these plants. I was like in a frenzy. I was like, I'm going to have the best veggie garden there ever was. So I bought one planter and then all of a sudden I was like, and I tried to call mum again, not answering. This is completely on Laurie. So then I end up getting a planter and then the lady from Bunnings who was so helpful and lovely kind of comes over. She's like, what you got there? And I said, oh, this is my new veggie garden. She's like, oh, that's not in season. That's not in season. Yeah. And I'm like, oh. And then I realized that there's a thing like in season plants. Apparently there's like the right time to plant plants. Apparently
absolutely.
They're very sensitive plants. So I'm like, okay.
Absolutely.
Didn't realize that you were so sensitive. So I had to.
We talked about this. Is why I haven't planted mine. I've got all the things ready to go, but I'm waiting for the right time.
I clearly wasn't listening.
Wow.
So I ended up getting the right plants for the season, thanks to that lovely lady at Bunnings.
Okay.
And
so
I had
pumpkins and squash and
no, yeah. Maybe look, I'm not going to lie, I snuck a chili plant in there.
Yeah, that's fine, but they do pretty well.
Yes.
Give it some shade, you're fine.
So I get home, right? I have the planter, so I've bought one planter, and I've probably got about 10 different vegetables.
No, it doesn't work that way.
So. To put it in perspective, the planter that I had was 69 centimetres long, right? So I pick up the first plant and it says plant 30 centimetres apart.
Yeah.
And now look, you know I'm not good at maths.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it going, I don't know if I've done the correct calculations here. So then Laurie decides to call back, doesn't she?
Yep.
And I tell her, Mum, I've got all these veggies ready to go, ready to plant. And the way this woman walks me through a 20-step process.
Correct.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so overwhelmed here. I cannot, I don't know what to do. And then Mum's like, you just need to relax, regroup, and go back to Bunnings. Alan, my whole backyard is just covered in planters and little plants everywhere. Like, it's crazy. And I'm put, because I can't plant them in the ground because I've got no space. You've been to my house. It's a tiny house.
Yeah, I just assume these are going on the roof.
I have more plant than house at the moment.
Yeah, wow.
My backyard is just covered in random, because I was like, I can't afford to buy all these planters. So what I did was I got all these random little like pot plants and now it's just pot plants of vegetables everywhere all over my backyard.
Mm.
So anyway, it's off to a great start, my gardening era. It's going well. Again, all on Mum.
Remember how
if she had have answered her phone, I would never have gotten into this mess.
Remember how you went to my house and you looked at the back and I was like, man, it looks like someone's selling all these plants in random pots and all sort of stuff.
That is what my back, I look like a nursery at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what Julie did because she claims she's going to replant them one day.
Also, I have to get at least 70 harvesters off these plants to financially recover.
70 harvesters?
Is that what they call it?
Like harvests. You need to do 70 harvests. Yeah, you're not buying a harvester.
See, I'm learning.
It's not that big a property, mate. No.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Let's cast our attention to what is going on in Massachusetts after a story has gone viral, which I'm all for.
Yeah, so basically they had a problem and now they've come up with a solution, which is genius in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So essentially they had a lot of people that had overdue fees and borrowed an item and didn't do the right thing by bringing it back or paying for it if it was damaged.
And sometimes you get it, you know, things, you know, get away from you. You have a book, you're like, oh, goodness, I still have that book. And then you're like, oh, no, now I'm going to get a late fee. I don't want to have to deal with this. Well, the library's got you.
Yeah, or you have to do what I do, and that's move states every couple of years to avoid late fees at libraries. It's
so
very
that's
exhausting.
That's why you do it.
Let's move on.
Why'd you use my library card?
So they've launched a program, which I absolutely love, called March Meowness.
Love it.
So essentially, they said this is a way for the library branch to forgive members of the community who misplaced a book or damaged a borrowed item that never went back to avoid paying for it. Now, I see what they're doing here as well, because they're trying to bring people back to the library.
Yeah.
They're like, look, we know you did the wrong thing. Come back to us, you know?
Or be forgiven.
All will be forgiven.
That's what we're doing right now.
Now, if you want to forgive, all you have to do is bring in a random cat photograph. And they will...
your own cat. It could be a drawing. It could be a magazine clipping.
Now, they've actually built a cat wall for this particular purpose. So that is one way to kind of repent for your sins and make it right again.
Yep.
They're going to post the cats on their Facebook page as well. Now, if that was me, I would have some real creativity with it. You know what I mean? Like, I would, well, you could do like a photo shoot with Winston, a little beret.
Well, and also, like, so they said that one kid came in, 7-year-old, he'd forgot to return his copy of Captain Underpants. So he brought it in and he doesn't have a cat or anything. So they just gave him a piece of paper and some crayons and said, draw us one.
You're not leaving here until you do.
They're a little bit of sticklers for the rules. But at the end of the day, that's cute as hell.
That is so cute.
I love this.
You know what I would do? I would recreate the poster from The Simpsons that was in their basement with
hang
the cat.
Hang in there.
Hang in there.
I want to know if Telstra's going to start doing this.
Also genius. Like, everyone around the world is talking about this library. Like, genius marketing.
I want to see it to other brands in Australia. Telstra. Coles.
What, pay your phone bill with a cat photo?
Well, your late fees at the
and
very
also,
least.
And also, if you make a dog photos.
Ew.
I am rich, baby.
I'm sitting on a gold mine over here.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.